Radio Loud.
Is that you?
I didn't touch it.
It wasn't me.
Don't worry about it. Well,
that
I don't know if it was you.
Anna says,
maybe it's you and your energy. But we had a Ghostbuster in here before, so maybe it's him.
Keith Barry got into hospital due to Natasha Brackett.
Throw it out. Don't do what I did. The first time I was in here, I dropped the goldfish bowl and I sliced straight through my hand.
Oh, no.
So me and glass in here seem to not mix.
Well, no.
Other things falling now. What is going on here today?
Well,
Dara's freaked out over there. There's other moving over here, Oran. Things keep moving and crashing and banging today. It's that kind of day.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Open Mind with me, Keith Barry. I've spent my career so far getting into the heads of other people, and in this podcast, I want to open my own mind and explore some of the weird and wonderful aspects of the human experience. This episode is one I'm really excited to share with you. I'm sitting down with a psychic medium. Yes, someone who says they can connect with the spirit world. Now, I know some of you might be skeptical, and trust me, I get it. I myself am the ultimate skeptic. But I'm going into this with an open mind, not to prove or disprove anything, but to listen, explore, and see where the conversation takes us. Whether you believe in the other side or not, I think there's something fascinating about the unknown, and maybe even a little bit comforting. So let's take a breath, let your curiosity lead, and let's see what happens.
Hi, Keith. Thank
you
for having us.
Thanks for coming along. Tell us who you are and what you do.
So, Keith, I'm a little nobody in Ballycumber, County Offaly. My name is Natasha Bracken, and I'm known as Natasha Bracken Psychic Medium. People call me different things, and it's really what people want to feel who I am as a person, you know. But I've been doing this work for a number of years, and many people have different ways of thinking and beliefs and different energies, and I have to respect that as well.
Well, first of all, thank you for joining me, because I think anecdotally, psychics, our psychic mediums might have perhaps avoided this conversation.
Yeah.
So I do want to thank you for being here.
I have my big boy shoes on today, Keith, for you.
Brilliant. Well, they're very fancy big boy shoes, I might add. So tell me this. First of all, look, I suppose, have you had this gift from birth, or when did you discover that you had this gift?
So I was 4 when I really discovered it. Obviously, I have it. My kids have it. I have a little 5-year-old at the moment, and she's going through her own journey of it. So it's not something that you even feel you have at 4 years of age. Mm-hmm. You just know what you've seen at 4 years of age. It's very natural. It's a natural way of being. This is not something that I have went to school to study. This is something that I maybe have ran away from. I didn't want people to judge me. I didn't want people thinking I was weird, mm-hmm. or people thinking I was in it for just the money or judging people, do you know, which is not the case. This is something that I have great passion for, and I've had to learn how to grow with it. Do you know, it's
when did you first discover those? So when you were 4 or 5, what happened that made you understand or think that you had an ability different, I suppose?
At the age of 4, you know, you just think it's natural, but it's when I start meeting my own guides and my own spirit guides that would have helped me through the different format of what I was going through, which I would have thought, well, Keith sees this, or Mary down the road sees this. This is very natural to your eyeballs, you know,
yeah.
And maybe that people don't, what people go through every day of what their eyes are seeing, I couldn't tell you what way their lives are. This is something that's always been there.
And,
you know,
and what was that though? What?
So I have a guy that used to come to me. He's a different format. It's a different element of where he was from, but he's one of my own guides. He comes to me in a huge light when I was younger, but then he formatted into a more of a stronger being as I got older. So every time I was learning about something different, he would grow stronger within me. And then I would have the white witches that also works with inside me throughout my work. And they'll only come in with it maybe through somebody that has like cancer, or someone with a huge severe problem or a severe issue, which this is where they would have taught me since I was young all the way up to who I am now. And I'm still learning, and I can't say I know everything. No, I don't. I'm not, you know.
And when you say white witches.
Yeah.
Is there multiple entities then that you work with?
There's a lot of different identities. There's a lot of different identities I won't work with. So there's the good and bad, and okay. you just have to learn how to be a balance medium. There's a lot of psychic mediums out there that's not balanced, and they're very overloaded with stuff. I'm a mother. I have to keep balance on. I have to just walk into it and walk out of it. And this is where these guides have come into my life to show me how to be balanced with it and to work with the vibrations of their energies as well.
And so I suppose just take a step back for a second. What is your definition of a psychic medium?
So there's different formats of psychic mediums. Look, I've often gone for readings myself, and I've often come out of there, I mean, they would have put the shivers up my back for me thinking of what could go wrong. So I have learned from that is what not to do to people.
Okay.
To reassure them. For me, I can only speak for myself. Yep. There's thousands of people out there that's different ways of working, and I'm not putting down anybody. But my way of psychic ability is I work with their own identity, their own minds, their own spirit guides and the people that has passed over. So I've worked with their loved ones, reassuring them that they're okay, giving them over their messages, giving them just comfort as well, and so that they can feel at ease as well, so that they can heal. The pain that people are going through, this should not be messed with. And this is something that you have to work with in different volumes and different energies. Rather, it takes 2 weeks, 6 years. It depends on each person that wants to work with you.
So do you have multiple abilities? And what I mean by that is, obviously, you mentioned spirits and the fact that, you know, you connect with past loved ones. I'm correct in saying that, yes?
Yes.
Like, I'm just interested, do you have multiple abilities? In other words, is clairvoyance part of your ability system as well?
I have all senses.
Okay.
I also used to get stigma wrote in my hands where the writing had come up on my hands.
Writing? So not just blood coming out, actually writing?
No, it'd be writing. It'd be no blood.
Okay.
It'd be writing and initials would come up and you'd actually feel as if it was my nails were drawn on me.
Okay.
I would often, and that would have been at the very beginning of when I was really going out and working at it and trying to understand it. This is their way of working through my body. Mm. Because at that stage, we said the White Witch wouldn't have been coming through my body till I was at ease with that.
Yep.
So I also work with the White Witch. I work with drug addictions with the White Witch. I work with different, the mindset of the person as well. Under sleep patterns is a huge, big pattern for people. There's so many different ways that I've helped people, both with their spirit and their own body and their mindset and family trauma, down to maybe the boyfriend breaking up. It's different, many forms of everything.
And you mentioned drug addiction there.
Yes.
So describe how a process with somebody who's afflicted, well, I suppose, with a drug addiction.
Most people will put somebody on medication to get them down off the drugs.
Yeah.
My format is that the pain has caused them somewhat way to go into that addiction at some stage in their lives. So I go back in with them and we go back through past life aggression. We go back into different lifetimes. Some people believe in past life. Some people don't. I do, because I've seen it. I've seen my own past life. I work with them and it has worked. I also go in and I change the DNA in the person's body with the energies. And I work with the format of that. Not everyone wants to be healed with drug addictions. Mm. They have to want this as well. And yes, this is probably where your part of your work comes in as well. The mindset has to be right as well for them to work through that. But in another sense, we work with by them taking down the sugars of their blood system and working with different diet system before we even take them into taking them off drugs.
There's a lot to unpack there. I have to just sit for a moment. So you mentioned changing the DNA structure of somebody.
Yes.
Like, tell me more about that.
So basically, when you see me, you see nothing around me. When I see you, I see lines coming up out of your body and I see the DNA chains of the different body cells and souls. And that's divided into many, many lopments into the body and into the different vibrations of the aura, the core aura, there's a vibration gene called Sedelva aura that's a higher level that most psychics will not see, but that's been taught to me with a huge energy of a guide. He's from the fifth dementia. He's taught me a lot about different colours, tones and different shields, how to shield out that in your own life, you know. And it's
you mentioned the fifth dementia. What's the fifth dementia?
Yeah, so fifth dementia comes with many, many energies, and that's where a lot of pain comes into the human body. So this is where when you're going through trauma or grief, you straight away, the body goes into the fifth dementia and the soul removes itself sometimes from the physical body, and then it goes into like decapitation energy. So this is where you have to be able to heal that back and just be reassuring that it's like a little child. It's the only way I could describe it. It's like your inner child has moved into this fifth dementia, and it's frozen with the pain. And this is where a lot of people with drug addictions go into. It goes into the sadness, the emotion, the useless feeling. And a lot of people that's listening to this, I'm sure men from 30 up to 50, 60, to go into this feeling of a useless feeling and emotion. And that's where the part of their energies, even though they might have everything going for themselves, it can make them feel it's another identity. It's another energy that comes over them. It's like a shadow, if that makes sense.
And just, I'm super interested. Do you think, or do you know, maybe you know, maybe you've done this, I don't know now. But I'm just interested in exploring this with you.
Yes.
Imagine for a second we have just a person, whether it's a drug addict or not,
yes,
doesn't really interest me. What interests me is, with your guidance and your ability, do you believe that if we manage to get science behind this, that structurally we would be able to see a DNA change in somebody using your ability? Is that what we're talking about here?
It. Look, I'm not educated. I don't know much about the science part of it, as in the scientific part of it.
Sorry, I have to interject in a complimentary way. You sound super educated to me.
Because it's from my own guides. Everything I've taught, this is not human work I do.
But I'm interested in if you think that if we got science 100%. Behind this, that on a cellular level, using your ability, that you'd be able to change somebody's DNA. That's what I'm wondering.
Look, I can't sit here and say, Natasha Bracken, psychic medium, said she can.
No, it's but not, I'm just interested.
I'm sure you could. It's definitely something that's there to be looked at. It's different knowledge. And
would that interest you at all?
And
why I ask that is, look, there's skeptics out there. And I've become what I would call probably not a soft skeptic, but I describe myself now.
You mean someone softened you, Keith?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not me.
I've softened my maybe it's my wife for aid, let's be honest about it. Yeah, it's not you, but I'm what I would describe now. I have a very specific saying for myself now.
Yes.
I think years ago, I was a closed skeptic. I'm an open-minded skeptic now. And what I mean by that is there's a big difference between skepticism and cynicism. Look, and I'm not a cynic,
no,
but it's important for you and my listeners to notice. I'm not a cynic, but I am here to explore things with critical thought. And I'd love an open-minded scientist to meet with a mind of a psychic. So perhaps if you were open to it, and get together. And I would love science to sit behind what you just said, and because that would blow my mind.
Yes.
I would actually go, oh my God, this, not that it's now real, it's more, oh my God, this is opening so many possibilities.
You have your yin and your yang. Your yin is the human body, the yang of the spirit. And when spirit and human work together, this is where the whole healing of a lot of things can come into reality. A lot of people, do you ever go to a doctor and you feel like there's something wrong with your body, but the doctor says, no, you're all clear, go home, you're grand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this is where the problem lies. It's in your aura energies, and there's different holes in your body. There's different soul, like the connections. It's very similar to someone putting daggers in your aura energy. It's very, I get so excited about my work, but I genuinely mean it. I have great passion for my work.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I can be quite, I'm the most softest person and the most emotion person. The first time I do shows, I'm crying with the person. I don't even know why I'm, someone said to me actually at the show, but spirit, and it was another psychic medium. They said, but spirit doesn't have emotion. Of course, spirit has emotion. Spirit teaches us true emotion every day. you know, and it's rather it's the robin or rather it's a symbol or rather you're dreaming. You should be dreaming about your own father at this stage. Mm. And this is where his energy is trying to make
For reference point, my dad passed earlier this year. And interestingly, I'm not so sure I dreamt about him until last night. I can't remember the dream, but I think he was in it last night because people have said that to me, that you're going to dream about your dad. And I don't think I have until last night. I think I did.
Yeah, he should be coming to you now. Only now he should be only coming to you because he's about 4 weeks in. Mm. So it's an energy that he'll come in and just kind of reassure you that he's okay. Now, the way your energies is that you just need to be able to sit with that and not analyze that. That's a very important part of you.
Well, it's interesting, right? And I love just exploring this and having a conversation with two minds that I think collectively meet in the middle, but having
different vibrations.
So my dad was the ultimate skeptic.
Yes.
Like way worse than me.
Like
I'll give you an example. I'm at home making homemade kombucha, and I've got the mother. I don't know if you make kombucha, but the mother is a SCOBY, symbiotic culture.
The Dublin thing, is it?
No, it's symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. It's basically looks like a mushed up brain in a jar, right? Okay. It looks manky, right? It looks horrible.
Brain teas are eating brains, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then you drink it. It's really good for your stomach. So it's fermented stuff. My dad is like, oh my God, what are you doing that for? And then I practice Wim Hof breathing. He's like, you're paying somebody to learn how to breathe. And I'm like, yeah. So anyway, to cut the chase, he didn't want a religious funeral. So we obviously were non-religious, but he was really ardent all the way to death. He was like, he wanted a non-religious ceremony. So we gifted him that. We honored his wishes.
Yes.
But my point is, just before he died, well, it's 2 points. Just before he died, he said, take my St. Christopher's medal and wear that with you everywhere in the world to protect you when you're traveling. And I was like, but Dad, he was very ill, but I was like, but you're the ultimate skeptic. You're the person who's not superstitious. So he got a little bit, but then he always instilled in me the whole idea of a robin. Now, here's the interesting thing, right? Look, I've had robins in my back garden for a long time. Every time I see a robin, and I know this will be me until my deathbed, every time I see a robin, it will remind me of my dad. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who do believe that that actually is spirit, like that actually is my father. I'm being honest, I don't believe that. I believe it just is what it is, right? It's just a reminder and a lovely reminder.
It is.
Do you believe it's spirit coming through the robins or do you believe it's a reminder?
When I came here this morning, I was sitting waiting for Kelly in the car and I was sitting. And
Kelly's your assistant, by the way, just for people listening.
Sorry, yes. She's my main core. but I was sitting and I was just saying, right, this is a good thing for me to do. I feel that this is good. So I'm making decisions about different things.
Yeah.
And the first thing sits on my window screen is a robin.
Mm.
So it's just like a symbol and a sign.
Yeah.
A robin is a spirit way of connecting to your loved ones. The robin is not, the physical bird is not your father, but it can be the symbol of connection and the body. It's like feathers. It's connection of the way that they're learning ye that they're okay. So they're guides in other ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, it does bring me comfort.
It brings you great comfort.
And
many people.
And being open, like, you know, I was sitting in the back garden there about 2 weeks ago, and when I needed a good cry, and I couldn't cry, right?
Yes.
And the robin came in, and I started bawling, crying, and I needed to purge
emotion,
I needed that to come out. Tell me, what divination tools do you use? Because I've noticed, correct me if I'm wrong, you use quite a few. Some psychics would just use tarot cards, for example. Yeah. Other psychics would just use, I don't know, maybe a crystal ball. What are your tools?
Well, I'm sitting here with no tools. I don't need tools.
Okay.
Tools are, they're an energy that people like to see where you're getting your stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would talk to my client, tell them what's going on, A, B, C, D. People's mouths are dropped on the ground before they even get a chance. And then I tell them to take their cards and the same information comes up.
Okay.
So it's just reassure them that they pick their own card. It's not a format. I use my rods a lot. for healings and to talk to spirit, so that the spirit world and so that the human body can identify where it's coming from. Mm. Does that make sense? Because they don't see what I see. Well, do you understand?
Yeah, but just for the people listening, when you mention rods again, you're talking about...
they're divine rods. Yeah. There is nothing major about them. They were given to me by a monk years ago. So my father uses rods as well, and my brothers, it's gone through. My whole family does different types of healings and different things. But the rods for me, I do a lot of healing where you could be standing at the door and my energy is able to pull you back and you'll feel your back surrounding back, and it clears different identities that's going on in the body. It could be kidney issues, it could be bowel issues, it could be... I work with a lot of different people with different elements. Can we cure cancer? I will never say we can cure cancer. Okay. Has it helped? It has helped different people, different formats, you know, but it's all stress related.
Do you think there's a danger in healing people in what you do? And what I mean by the danger aspect is that people might avoid conventional medicine. Do you understand what I mean here?
It really depends on your healer and what they're suggesting to you. I would never tell anyone not to go to a doctor, because we are human at the end of the day. I'm here to help the spirit body, the physical body, to help, we'll say, your soul of what's after going through. So when a cancer patient takes in chemo, the energy is straight away, you taste iron in your mouth, it's blood connection. Yeah. So when you sit beside somebody, rather you're connected or not, straight away you should start tasting like a blood feeling in your mouth, because it's an energy base, you're hitting off somebody around it. So emotionally, it's an energy where you're healing all these symptoms on the aura energy. So it's like a filter. A filter magnet that you keep cleansing the body. So it's not intaking the chemicals all the time and making the body feel tired or worse. If anything, you should have energy from it. I remember there was a person in the show and they were sitting in the audience, and I said to the male, or there was a male after coming through, and he was telling me that he was buried in the wrong grave. And I could see the headstone, I could see the date of the headstone, but it wasn't his name. And I was saying to them, this man is buried in the wrong grave. And this is information's only after coming out in the last few days. A wife put up her hand. She was only 2 days after, she was after finding out her husband wasn't buried. There was a different man buried in her grave, and he was buried in a different grave. But he was saying he did not want to be moved, because where he was being buried...
So you're saying to you, the spirit was saying...
He didn't want to be moved because he was on the grave on his own. But he didn't want to be moved because this male energy was... They were wondering, should it dig back up
his
body? Because this is not their grave. And obviously he was in the grave with the father-in-law or the mother. It was their own plot.
Yeah.
But she was always given... She said she was always given out to him, you know, wanting to be alone, but now he's alone, you know. But he didn't want to be moved from spirit where he was.
Do you sometimes frighten yourself with your abilities?
Yeah, 100%. When I go to my own shows, when I walk out on the stage, I have 2 minutes to open up and 2 minutes to close down. I have literally step out into an audience and I'm making sure that I'm getting the proper information to these people, that I'm not confusing them, or I'm not confusing myself, but the information that comes through my own mouth, I'm like, wow. Because see, it's not me, it's different sense of spirit working through me, working with the body, working with their body. And at the end of the night, I've just recapped what's after going on, do you know, because it can be quite amazing, it can be quite wowed.
Have you ever turned up to one of your own shows where there's, what, 300, 500 people or more maybe in an audience, would I be right in saying that?
Yeah.
I've ever turned up and just the spirits didn't come through. Like, has that ever happened to you?
No, because then I wouldn't work for them anymore.
Right.
Not at all. It's either jump or die.
So, well, are you an open gate then to these spirits?
I'm an open gate. I work with the highest good. My people.
Even when your energy is low, even when you're not in the humor, we'll say, right? Because that happens to all of us, right? You're not in the humor. You've got a busy life. Besides all this, so you got kids, you got a husband, you got the whole thing going on, everybody else out there. Like, even though, you know, what you do is a very, I suppose, specialized ability, you've got a busy life. So, like, do you ever just turn up at a gig, not in the humor,
No,
but it still happens. It still works.
You can't, for 3 days to 4 days, I'm in my gig.
Okay.
Beforehand.
Ah,
so
okay.
If I'm down or low, it's you're brilliant. You have to build that energy up.
Yeah.
Because with my work, I can't afford to be sick because no one else can do my type of work and step in for me. Like if you were a musician, you could have another gig person. Mm. You have to even eat right before your 3 days before you go out on stage, because your body, your soul has to be cleansed and cleared for just to be an empty festival for a spirit to work through you. Do you know? But the fact that I for 3 or 4 days I build up, I buy gifts for people in the audience. The last person we bought, I think it was a little yellow bird for the last show. There was two young lads and should were pure skepticals in the audience. And I kept seeing this yellow bird and the cage and that. And these things cost me money. But you know, it's fun. And I try and keep the light side to this emotion as well.
But I have to say, just to interject, like I've watched a lot of different psychics and people in that world. I've never seen that being done before. So what Natasha is saying is before her events, she purchases a lot of different items.
Yeah,
and
then she, rabbits.
And then they make sense and you help them make sense for the people in the audience. Mm. When you're buying those items, like how does that work? Like do you sit at home, close your eyes?
No, I walk into the shop. I have my wallet in my pocket and no one can walk beside me. My husband does walk beside me. I'd be like, go over there. I can't think.
Okay.
And I could be buying whatever. And then I might see a cage and I'd say, all right, I have to get the cage. He just warned me I'm not allowed to buy the cow or the sheep.
Why not? I mean, it'd be great. Cool.
Might do it on your show, Keith.
Yeah, I'd love that. Walk in with a cow or a sheep or a monkey.
Monkey. Well, I probably wouldn't give it back, but anyways.
Yeah, and here's an interesting thought that I had. You know, when I mentioned you sometimes freak yourself out, I said I'd share this story. And, you know, obviously with what I do, people are out there listening to this, they're skeptical of me as well, which is fine. But my dad was sick for a long time, right? And he was in his final days. And look, the doctors didn't really know how long was left. And, you know, but we knew we were in that window. 48-hour, maybe 96-hour window. And I just turned to it was me, my mum, my sister, and my uncle were in the room with them. And I turned to them all, and I just said, 2:01 a.m. And they all looked at me and said, what? I said, 2:01 a.m. And sure enough, he passed at exactly 2:01 a.m. Like, they all went, like, white in the room. Yeah. Now, the skeptical part of me wants to look at that and go, that's just a coincidence, even though like it's a mad thing. It's a mad thing to do, right? But I will tell you, there's a part, like, this is going to make me sound like a complete hypocrite, right, to myself. But part of me thinks, Jesus, am I real? Even though I'll be open, a lot of what I do, I fake, right? I fake it, okay? Yeah. And that's me being open to my audience and saying, look, I suppose art form is to create the illusion of what I do.
But is it a feeling that you feel you should fake it, or is it a feeling that you should just maybe learn how to trust your feelings?
Well, I don't know. But the more I go on and the more those kind of things happen to me, it's like, it gives me shivers even to think about it now. Yeah. And I suppose my question off the back of that is, how do you, Natasha Bracken, given the fact that, you know, if I'm open-minded with you here today, and I am, and if our audience is open-minded, how do you decide? You're the expert in your world. Mm-hmm. And I have to defer to your opinion. How do you decide if somebody is a fake psychic versus a real psychic? And that's a really important question, I think.
Of course. You know, we flew into New York during the week, and every corner...
Jet-set lifestyle there, huh? My psychic world must pay well.
Every corner you turn in New York, there's stalls everywhere saying psychic medium.
And it's the same in Los Angeles, by the way. I don't know if you've been to LA, but it's the same in LA. Yeah.
You know, there is, and you just have to be very careful who you go to, because it's your mind. And when you leave that place, you're thinking, right, this is happening. The last thing I want to do is just reassure that they can record. Number one, that you should be allowed to record your reading in anyone's reading. Number two, if they suggest that you're not allowed to record, that means they're unsure about what their opinion is given to you. And number three, you would always just not give them too much of your information. When we take information, like phone, we just get the phone number of people. We don't even take their phone names. We don't want their names when they come to us, you know, because we don't want people, we're looking them up. But the biggest thing is that the person needs to feel comfortable with somebody. Do you know, I can't say who isn't. You could come to me and get nothing from me. Mm-hmm. You're not going to please everybody. I'm not going to please everybody, and I'm not here to please everybody. I'm not here to prove myself to anyone. But the biggest thing is if you are going for a reading, I would suggest that you look at the reviews. You make sure that you feel comfortable and that you're ready for it. Because some people don't want you to tell them the truth either. They don't want to hear it.
That's interesting. And you're the first person I've heard in this world that is encouraging people to record their readings.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100%. People do say, Tasha, can I record? You can stand on your head if you want, just once you're comfortable. It's really, really important for me. I wouldn't be as good or as busy as I am if people felt unease. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's people that has come to me. I'm sure there's people that has come to your shows and didn't like it or didn't enjoy it. I mean, one out of every third show, you'll have somebody in the audience saying, hey, you know, I didn't get something because I wanted it so much. People come to shows and they think they have more pain than the other person. And everyone's pain is different. Do you know, unless you've gone through, I work with a lot of people that can't have babies as well, as fertility healing. Mm. So I work with their DNA with this as well. And I've people that has received their pregnancy through their DNA levels of changes and to help with the soul coming closer to the body. The people that I've told that they weren't able to have kids.
I find that fascinating, but I have a story to share, and I always feel it's important that I share stories. So I was working on a TV show called You're Back in the Room in the UK one time. And it was a hypnosis game show.
Okay.
And ultimately I was the hypnotist on the show, and I was hypnotizing people to stop them winning the money. And it was just a kind of a fun Sunday night experience for people. But a weird thing happened. It turned out, kind of like what you're saying, one of the ladies on the show, she had been diagnosed as being completely infertile. So in other words, she couldn't have kids. And she'd been through the whole IVF thing, hadn't worked. And I was hypnotizing her, and I can't remember the exact details of it, but ultimately I was hypnotizing her just for fun for the show. But she texted me or Facebook messaged me later that evening to say she believed that I'd unblocked something in her.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't know anything about her infertility at that stage. Yeah. And then, like, literally 6 months later, she Facebook messaged me again and say, I can't believe it. I'm 6 months pregnant.
Yeah.
I got pregnant the night after the hypnosis game show. And I do believe it was something in hypnosis
that,
unblocked that. Now, again, do I believe that's a coincidence, or did I unblock something? Again,
it's a brain trigger, to be honest with you. So she believed, her doctors told her she couldn't have a baby. So she believed it. So you unblocked that belief, and then her body relaxed more. Her soul came into alignment. So her soul came back into alignment of her fertility energy. You know, when I was, sometimes we can unblock things with people and different ways as well. I remember I was pregnant with Anna, and I was told to go to the hospital by my own guides. This was my youngest girl, and there was a lady there. She was a nurse. She was in the hospital, and she was looking after me. I didn't know why I was to be there. I was told from previous experience, so I listened to myself this time. I said, right, we'll go to the doctor or the hospital. I was lying there in the bed talking to my husband, and they said to me, you're going to go down for a C-section, and if not, you can go home. I didn't know why I was there. At that moment in time, that nurse was pregnant, you see, and she used to take epileptic fits. And I didn't know this at this time. She used to take seizures. So her problem was, if she was to become pregnant, she was having seizures, too many seizures, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she was working on me, all of a sudden I could hear now. I was after going into four different major seizures. I took epileptic fits on the bed.
Wow.
Within that moment, they took me down to theater. I had my baby. I was 2 weeks off having her. She was fine. I got a lovely email a few months later of this nurse stating that her epileptic fits, she never took one since.
Wow.
And now, is that a coincidence? Who knows? But I've never taken seizures before or after since, you know. So she really believes it's something like your story there, that's what happened to her, you know.
To loop back to it.
Yes.
When you mentioned, like, changing, like, DNA again,
yes,
for a second. Are you open-minded or closed off to the idea or concept that instead of that being soul-related, which is what your opinion is and what your belief system is, that it could be, I'm only throwing out this possibility, like from a skeptical standpoint, that it could be the person, the placebo effect is what I'm trying to get to. So in other words, it could be the person healing themselves. So for example, with the hypnosis that I did on that lady, even though it was just for like fun factor, I had to try and unpack that myself, right? And in my head, it was like, was it really the hypnosis or was it really just, back to what you said, her belief system
unlocked?
So is it possible that what you're doing is unlocking people's pre-existing belief system?
So they're called DNA chains.
Yeah.
So different, the body holds on to, so the body itself holds on to your DNA change to the soul itself. Mm-hmm. So as you're healing the different emotions, that's exactly what it is. The body is healing itself. You're helping it guide the energy away from the negativity and different vibrations. So yes, it is healing itself, but also you're impacting that as well by guiding that system, guiding that energy. Breath work is so important as well. And a lot of people breathe from their waist up. So if anyone is having a lot of anxiety and issues, I believe breathing from your right foot up, right over to the right side of cells of the brain, to the left side of the body and down. This can heal an awful lot in the system of the body.
How do you do that? What's the technique for breathing from your right leg up?
So you feel, your bottom of your foot and you take a deep breath and you visualize the body, the breathing up, over, down. The slower the better, the more control you have over your body and over your own system. We give away a lot of our power, our own energy, our own identity every day to people. And even us, me and you on this now, people are judging us and having great skip. So I was on Google Box there. I laughed at myself in this Google Box, you know. The biggest thing is that you're being judged every minute of the day. Mm-hmm. So the biggest part is don't care what people think.
Yeah,
it's your biggest part is if you are the key of your own soul, and if people are listening and they have anxiety, because I believe anxiety comes from other people. You don't have anxiety yourself. Most things is caused by anxiety because she did this or he did this to me, or my dad passed or my mom passed. It's caused by other items or things or people.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's what's coming into my head about anxiety being caused by other people. Also, I'm a big proponent myself of breath work. I mentioned the Wim Hof method. I think that's brilliant for anxiety. I think any form of breath work can be fantastic for people's anxiety.
So when you're doing your breath work, it's very, very important for right foot to left foot. The reason why, how I discovered that was I was after... Quick story. I was after having a dream. I was on an alien ship and I was gone through different dementias. And in this dream, I had three sponges in front of me. And they said to me, this is your pregnancy test. I ate the neutral sponge. I didn't eat the pink one or the blue one. Long story short, anyways, I said to my husband and he said, no, you're not. I was very real. So I did a pregnancy test and I was pregnant. A few months later, I was 5 months pregnant. And I said to my husband, it was Cemetery Sunday. And I'm not the most religious person either. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I'm a spiritualist. I believe in what I see. But I said to my husband, I can't go into the cemetery Sunday. The face of the child I'll never see. And my husband said, sure, you'll have to go. I was after saying to my husband, I couldn't deal with losing my baby. And in that stage, I went into the bathroom and I was here losing my own child. I went up to the hospital and I lost my baby. My baby was thrown in the bin in front of me. Going back to the story, the dream, I had the neutral sponge. I was eating the neutral sponge. The baby was never coming to me. I never had the pink or the blue. And in the dream, there was someone came in, threw a cigarette into the bin and exploded. But my baby was actually thrown into the bin in front of me. That was a big anxiety problem for me, because at that moment, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't think. I couldn't. I was that girl that no one could help. The only thing I could do was come home and work, go back into my shut off mode and work. And my guides, my anxiety was very high. But that week, 15 ladies, I mean 15 women came to me that all lost babies through the same week. For me to go through what I had to go through on my journey, I had to learn their feelings, their emotion, their body, how it feels for them. To be able to impact on how to deal with a woman that lost a child.
So 15 real women came to you for...
15 real women that miscarried, that was unreal. You know, and people just kept ringing. And there it was, again, it was an energy run. They were drawn to me because that's the way it was. But my own guides said to me to breathe this way. Breathe up from the right, over to the left, up from the left. And 3 weeks... It took 3 weeks and I had no anxiety. I understood the whole process of why I lost my baby. I understood everything. And is it me not having, was I emotionally for a year? Yeah, I was. But I was able to manage it. I was able to know why. Do you know, and there's plenty of people out there wonder why did it give me this and taking it away? You know, and there's different methods of people, how the people feel, and I'm sure as we're talking, there's people going through the similar situation, you know?
I mean, I'm really impacted by that. I just can't imagine what an experience that might have been for you to go through
life,
that. And I can tell you're emotional about it. Maybe you got through the end, but I can just see the quiver in the lip.
Yeah.
And it's not easy sharing a story like that. And I appreciate you sharing that story. I mean, I don't want to delve into that story too deep, unless you want to, but I can't get over the fact that, you know, your baby was thrown in a bin in front of you. It's heart-wrenching to
football.
Even hear that.
They were watching football, I'll never forget it, on the screen. I was losing my baby in A&E and they brought me in. They got the forceps and that was it. They didn't know compassion at all.
Well, look, since we're sharing, let me share. I mean, it's heavy, right? I didn't know this is where the conversation is going to be at.
You did say let's go with the flow.
Well, let's go with the flow, but this is heavy flow. But just in case people think these things don't happen, I mean, like Brianna, our daughter, she had a horrific birth and we weren't in that scenario, but like ultimately she was ripped out of her aid. I mean, ripped out with no compassion. So I'm just kind of sharing a story because of it. No compassion. And she had like Erba's palsy, which was a paralyzed arm, intermittent exotropia, which is an eye problem. And we were just handed our baby. There you go. And intermittent exotropia might be permanent, might not be permanent. Erba's palsy might be permanent, might not be permanent. Kind of see ya. And that's a whole other story, which I can't get into here. But ultimately, these things happen. And it's how we deal with those moments. And in my world, I say this to people out there and listening who might have gone through a similar experience or not even this, just like a traumatic experience.
Yes. Well,
for me, even with my own dad passing, magnify the positive, shrink down the negative.
Oh,
that's what
100%.
I do in every moment, right? And I think it's just what we're really speaking to is coping mechanisms.
Yes.
And you, in whatever way it came, we'll say, and your belief system is your belief system.
Yes.
And I will not allow my own belief system. And maybe people out there are probably saying to themselves, well, why is Keith Barry not being more critical or skeptical? It's because that's not what this is about. This is about an open conversation with somebody such as yourself. And first of all, I want to thank you for sharing that experience. But more importantly, I don't really think it matters where that coping mechanism came from.
No.
That was one that you discovered. And the one that you just... I suppose taught us or shared was that breathing through the right and up through.
Yeah.
Regardless what we think, personally, in my world, having had experience in this for 30 odd years, and that is not a technique that I've heard somebody describe before, I don't care how you found it. I think it could be very beneficial to all of our listeners out there who might be suffering right
100%.
Now. 100%.
And you go from left to right, right to left three times.
The biggest that's important. Hang on, slow down there now. Okay, so don't brush over that because I want my listeners to know how to do this properly. So if you could describe the technique, that'd be really great for us.
Sure. So you take your right foot.
Hang on, I'm going to plant my feet a little bit here now.
So okay, if you go with the right foot, just close your own eyes and you'll feel the energy coming up between us. You can already feel the energy between us here in the bottom of your legs. You're getting shivers up. So right foot, taking the right foot, just think of your right foot. Now take your deep breath up from that. Now it has to be very slow. The slower the better. You're getting every cord under the sun of blockages up over to the right side of the mind, over to the left side of the mind, and you breathe out through the mouth, Keith. All the way down to the left foot. You can feel a motion there from your own father hitting you in, just in around the chest bone. Then you're breathing up from the left side up again, very slowly. Over down on the left. And breathe out through the mouth. It's very important to breathe out through the mouth because you have to visualize your elbow, your shoulder, your body. Each cell you're hitting is very, very important. Already you're feeling the coldness coming down through the body and a clearer energy to the toxins that's entered the mind. And then you do it one more time. And you can visualize the spinal cord as well for this last one and breathe it down on the right.
Look, do I believe that's just breath work to make me feel good? Probably. Yeah, but is it, was it?
You're Keith.
But, but here's the thing. I'm also very aware that there's no percentages to this, right? And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people out there who actually really believe in soul, believe in religion. They believe in spirit guides. So tell me this, when you're talking to spirit, how does that come in? Like, are you seeing physical beings? Are you hearing voices? So they come as images? Like, how?
Yeah, so
describe
the majority
to us how
of the time
is.
I see the person.
Okay.
So it's just like you standing there, but in a lighter frame.
Yeah.
You can see clothing. You can hear them. Sometimes it can be just voice. Sometimes, like last night, there was an identity trying to get in. It's like a dark shadow, really heavy. Sometimes I could wake up and there could be something wrapped around my husband's throat or my neck. And these are things, whether you believe or not, it is something that I can't say it's not there because I've seen it. I've definitely felt it. Mm. And it can be very daunting if you don't know what you're feeling, especially for kids that's going through. Some kids go through like threats. Some kids go through nightmares and keep waking up screaming and crying. A lot of it can be different, darker identities that shadow on their energy. And this can cause it as well.
I know I've seen it described before that sometimes these entities can leave marks, physical marks on your body. Describe that to me.
So that can be quite sore, actually. Some people wake up and they might find scrapes on their body and they don't know where that's after coming from. And maybe two nights later, the same scratches would come up again.
Sorry, when you say some people, are you talking about psychics or just normal people?
No, normal people. Psychics.
And they come to you then?
Different people, yes.
So what about you? What's your own personal experience? Have you had marks on your own body?
I've had marks. I've had, when I was younger, I used to get a lot of marks on my neck.
Okay. What do you think that was? Or do you know what that was?
When I was younger, I didn't know what it was. And this is where I had to grow into me, who I am now, to be able to divide the darks to the light. Because when I was younger, I used to feel that, if you were... If you dragged yourself more into that energy, the deeper you can go with it and the deeper that soul can come into your body, which is a big thing. Yes, people would say is that paranoid mind, and then people are believing that they're feeling it and the self create a lot of problems and different issues, which is 100% right. But from my own expectation, I actually see it. And these are things that can be not feared for. If you are afraid of it, then it can harm you. If you're not afraid of it, then it can't harm you as much, because you're stronger.
Okay.
So
you have to block it somehow.
Block it out, yes.
So what is, I'm really interested in this now. What are the percentages of, I'm intrigued, in your experience of, we'll say, evil spirits, are negative spirits versus positive? Is it like 50-50 or is it just the odd time a negative spirit tries to get through? Do you know what I mean?
Majority time for me, thank God, I'm one of the lucky ones. I've got great guides.
So that comes down to the guides and
protectors.
Important.
People come to me, and I'm a teacher for this. People come to me, and when they come to my courses or that, they come to me and they say, now how do I protect myself? I'm after sage in my house. I'm after doing all...
Sorry, what's saging? I kind of know.
Where they would get sage and burn it around their house.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, I don't believe that works.
Okay.
Why? I just feel that it's just... The spirit just... They're laughing.
They don't care.
It's like Ghostbusters coming in. So, yeah. And saying they're going to move this thing and this yoke's still waving at you,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
A lot of darker spirits will come in and if you can see them, they'll make funny faces at you and they'll be doing all sorts of funny things with you. Mm. I've actually had somebody that used to see them as cartoon characters, which was very unusual for me because I've never seen them as cartoon characters. That would be the mindset, you know? But I'm not saying that they don't just because I don't see it like that. But it's just different ways of people seeing things. But for your, I would say it's like anything. There's a female, male. There's a swan, there's a male swan. There's good, there's evil. How many of them each? Who knows?
When was the last time you were scared?
I would have been scared when I seen the man with the red eyes. He would have been from a different format, which is neither human, guides, or a being. So he comes in a shadow energy, and a lot of probably people that have listened would have experienced it in some part of their life at some stage. I remember I used to experience when I was younger, but then as you get older, it fades out. But I only seen him about a year and a half. When there's a lot of sickness or something going on in your own family or life and the energies, it's a format of an energy that tries to frighten you as well. But his energy can be quite intrusive because it's an energy that doesn't know how to stand back. Mm. There's no expectation. Do you know? That would be something that you would need probably an exorcism for or something, you know. I do believe it's from a darker source of energy.
If these spirit beings can physically interact with you and leave marks and scratches and so on, have you ever heard a story? Have you ever experienced a death from this? Like, do you believe that these spirits can harm us that much that it can potentially, dare I say it, murder us?
Look, I'm sure.
Sounds bonkers to me, I'm wondering.
I've never had friends yet that has gone through it.
But you know what I mean?
I do believe, look, years ago there was a lot of that in Sintry, you know, and a lot of darkness that would have taken over people's bodies. Witchery was crafted for it and hung for it years ago.
Yeah.
I think we've just got a headstone for the last witch that passed, and she was hung, the last witch in Ireland. But like that, it's a format that, do you believe, do you not believe?
But what I like about that is that you just don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah, which is good.
People said to me, coming here today, you know, he's going to hack your mind. I says, he can hack my mind. Because, you know, you can't hide what you're feeling or seeing.
Mm.
And realistically, it's an energy that I feel that, yes, it's to protect other good psychics out there as well.
Yeah.
And to not give up just because people are, keep going. And if you can feel that you can help 10 people out of 100, then you're doing amazing.
Well, to loop back though to the start of our conversation, I know you mentioned you were very young when you started to experience this and you thought it was just kind of normal, everybody experienced.
Yes.
But I do know that you had an experience with your son, Cian.
Yes.
And a car accident. Tell us about that.
So basically I was in the car maybe 3 days previous to this, and I had a flat wheel in my own car. So my son was only about a year and a half. My mom was sitting in the front seat, and Keane says to me, the boys were after fixing the car and put the jack in the back. And as we do as Irish people, we don't put things in right.
Mm.
We don't. And we put the wheel in and we just do whatever we do. But for instance, my son says to me, Mommy, you're going to crash the car. I said, stop giving me the heebie-jeebies. I'm not going to crash the car. My mother was like, stop that. But long story short, 2 days to 3 days, I can't remember now, two days to 3 days later, I was going down to my own hair salon. My son started crying. He wouldn't get into the car with me. My husband, I wasn't long with my own husband, so I wasn't going to drop my child off with Jim. And I said to him, he says to me, no, I'll bring Keane down behind you. So he got into the van behind him. I was going down and my Ugg boot got caught in the accelerator. And I couldn't get it out. I was going around two corners. And in that moment, that time, my Ugg boot got caught. It was like slow motion. I cannot describe the feeling, and it was the most beautiful feeling, and I mean that.
Okay.
Because in that moment in time, a lady appeared in the car. She told me to let go of the wheel. It was the very same, you were moving like this, really slow. I just did what she told me to do. I let go of the wheel. In that meantime, the jack came out, cut my child's car seat in half. She obviously stopped my son from getting into the car. The guards came and the guard says, it's a good job the child wasn't in the car. The child would have been decapitated. Mm-hmm. The car seat came in half, complete half. The child's head would have been gone. I couldn't thank that angel more than ever. Mm. From that moment in time, I've ignored my gifts for up to then. I was a hairdresser. Okay. I didn't
your
want to be either.
You can tell your hairdresser.
Even say that's smart with the chicken in my mouth, the shoes on, the child running out the door. But all joking aside, people can tell me if it's real or not real. I don't really care. I seen what I seen.
Yeah.
And my son did not get into that car. From that day onwards, I closed down my two hair salons and I start doing what I was doing. I didn't ignore it anymore. And I said, if I only help one person, I will do it. Because that's what I swore to her. And I don't go to mass every 10 minutes. I go to mass for communion, a confirmation, maybe a wedding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the social side of it. A different type of spirit. But all joking aside, I have actually had more nuns and priests come to me for readings, you know, and it's nice to see their expectation of it all as well, and especially the nun side of it, you know. And that I love, because you can really get in on them, you know.
And I'm just I could talk to you forever. I'm also interested in like the opinion, I suppose, of religion with this. I don't know what that is. So you've obviously interacted with priests, with nuns. Yes. Like I think some priests and nuns would frown upon what you do, and then obviously there's others that obviously are very open-minded.
My thing is, Keith, you go into a church, you pay money for a candle. Mm. People give out to you because you charge your healing abilities, your gifts, because you still have to live and you have to get your kids to school and you still have to, you're doing your complete work with this. There is people out there that charge humongous money has agreed, do you know, which is a big thing, and that's ridiculous. But when you go to a priest, do they believe in God, something that they don't see? Of course they do.
Yeah,
I believe in spirit that I see. So
yeah, but I suppose my question to that was, what's your experience of the nuns and the priests that are coming to you, like the believers? Why are they coming to you? What are they looking for? And is their experience slightly different than a traditional person, I suppose?
For what I have experience of most nuns that come in, they feel very trapped.
Okay.
They feel very trapped.
Which
they feel
natural,
very isolated. They feel, I've had a lot of different people that come and they're just afraid of being with people that they love. Having that experience, I think that if priests and nuns were able to marry, my opinion is that they would be a lot happier in their souls. And they come from a lot of healing as well, and probably a lot of guilt emotions for what stuff they've done as well. I have had people that has committed a lot of adultery to different people.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people that stole money that feel guilt. So they would treat me like the nun. I don't judge them, Keith.
Okay.
And I've had people that had blood on their hands of what they've done.
Okay.
I you can only guide them.
Mm-hmm.
And people who say to me, how do you not judge them? I can't, because I don't know what's going through their little mind.
How do you deal with that emotion in yourself? So like I know in my past, I suppose again, like professionally, I'm doing what I do 25 years. and done a lot of entertainment shows, but I've also done a lot of one-to-one hypnotherapy. Like, I mean, literally thousands of people. And I've kind of really stopped doing that for the most part for the last few years because I found that it was really negatively affecting my emotion, even though I had the ability to unpack that subconsciously, like I do. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like emotionally I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yes.
How do you protect your own emotion, and does it affect you?
It does. You're trying to protect your own family from all it is. It's the same. I go out and I help people look for their missing person as well. Mm-hmm. It's an identity that... You know, you come from all sorts of different emotions. It's not just, if anyone can sit here and tell me who I am, they could never even experience one moment of what I've been through and what I've heard and what I've seen through their different eyes.
But how do you protect yourself? Again, back to it. Like, how do you protect your own mindset? How do you not go mad with all this?
No, I don't. I suppose I love my work. I was no good at anything, Keith. I was in school, I was not
I doubt that that's true. That's a belief system you
that
have.
That is a belief system. it's a great belief system. But now I'm believing I'm great
I bet
now.
You were
I'm amazing.
You had two salons, not one.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is I was more like children sometimes are not the best in schooling, but they're so pandemic amazingly up here in the mindset and they're able to create, which is much better, I think.
Schools kill creativity. There's a reason that's the number
that's
one
it.
TED talk of all time. Yeah.
But but the way I protect myself is when I step into my work, I step in. And when I step out, I step out.
Okay,
I'm a mother.
That's important. Yeah.
And I use Epsom salts in my baths. I have a bath. I could have a bath maybe three times a night or three times
a day.
You know, to cleanse my body.
Yeah.
After the show, it doesn't matter if it's 4 o'clock and I come in from anywhere. I will always use Epsom salts. But is there any great protection? No. Your self-worth, your self-belief of how you treat your body, and you're breathing and you're sleeping.
Yeah.
There's no great witch work that will protect you. Mm-hmm. It's an energy that you feel. If there's good around you. You need positive people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no need to be sitting in negative with negative people all the time. That will drain you. That's where they're coming in their life. And you have to understand if they're having that issue in their life, that's where they are in their life. It's not where you are. Rather it's your partner or rather it's where you are. You have to understand that it's not always to you to take it on. So you have to protect yourself that way.
Now, my critical mind sometimes kicks in and I have a question and I'd love you to just give an honest answer to it. Sometimes I think I have an opinion and maybe it's a wrong opinion. So yeah, I'm intrigued. I've never asked.
I'm sure I'll have an opinion as
well. Yeah, I've never asked a psychic this question. I sometimes wonder, does what you do interfere with the natural grieving process that we need to go through to get over the death of a loved one? So for example, like a good example, like a personal example is my dad. Like my dad, and let's keep, and we can have a personal conversation. My dad he passed away this year. And, you know, and look, I've got the emotional intelligence to know that I'm not fully over it. I know that there's going to be more moments coming. But I wonder, does it prolong that process rather than allowing somebody to naturally get over it in their own way?
The only thing I would say to you is that it really depends on who you go to, right? The biggest part of the way I work, I can't speak for any other psychic medium, but
of course.
The way I work is that if someone comes to me and I feel that they're in a very dark place, I will not turn their cards because they're only going to keep seeing their negative side and their emotion side. So I would suggest that we do healing. And we clear their energy and get their breathing work right so that they can heal prosperously and that they can grieve prosperously. I feel that it's very important that you sit in that grief. Mm-hmm. There's three griefs, Keith.
Okay.
There's the family grief.
Yeah.
There's your own grief. And then there's the grief of loss.
Yeah.
It's very important to sit in the grief of loss, understanding that they're in a happier place, that they're no longer sick. They're no longer in that process of being in a hospital bed. Your dad is a very independent man and he had his own mindset and no one would tell him black or white.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless what, this is an energy that he gets to go back. By the way, your dad has probably gone back into about 30, 35. So he's gone back into a younger body. So to even feel that their soul has gone back and they're not in that sick frame of mind, it really helps the person to understand it a little bit. It's not to change your mind of grief. I would always say that no one can take that grief from you. No one will take that pain from you, but it's nice for somebody to be able to talk.
I think based on your answer there, I think what you've given me is it's an important skill set that you need to have to deal with grief. And what I mean by is a psychic has to have an important skill set. I think there's a danger that if the psychic is not mindful like you are, that that person could potentially prolong that natural grieving process.
Yeah, you have a woman that maybe fell out with her father and he didn't talk to her because of A, B and C.
Yeah.
Right? Then you have the person that they minded the person all their lives and then they left, and I'm sure a lot of listeners can deal with this, they left all their will to one person that didn't bother care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a huge argument. But the person is grieving and angry and emotional.
Yeah.
And then you have maybe the person that goes to the psychic medium and says, well, he's still not talking to you and he still doesn't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to hear.
Mm.
That's a hard thing to put up with. You have the person that goes to commit suicide and has the rope around the neck because their parents never bothered with them or never, and now they're crying at their grave. So you have all different types of emotion, feeling. Each section has a different emoji, as I do say to my kids.
Yeah.
Where we have to deal with it in different ways, different kindness. And for them to feel comfortable, it's very, very important to feel comfortable that they're your best friend as well and that you make them feel that sense of direction and look, I just go with the flow of it with them and, you know, and I will give them my opinion and people don't like my opinion because I'm very blunt. I'm blunt.
I like that though. I think bluntness is a tool and technique that's lacking a lot.
They'll find it in their routine going forward. I might say to you, look, come here, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Mm. Your father is no longer in cancer. Your father is no longer sick or getting sick with blood. You don't have to worry about walking in to see if he's choking on something or the stress of minding somebody as well.
Oh,
some people, you know, go through their whole lives of minding from mother to father to uncle. Do you know? It's to know that these people are all together in a different world and different energy, that they're no longer sick in the process of that.
You're incredibly articulate in the way you explain yourself. I'm really intrigued. Like, I'm a voracious reader. And then obviously I've got, look, if you want to call it intuition, and I do what I do. But I've learned a lot and I've read the history of magic and mentalism and philosophy. Where have you learned all this stuff? Like, I know obviously some of it comes naturally, but...
No, all of it comes naturally, Keith, because I can't read.
I find that, like...
I can't write.
Can't read or write at all?
No. I can do little bits, but that's why I have the girls. I was absolutely would shake going into school. Can you hypnotise me to do all that?
I probably could. That's a whole other show. A different day. It'll take a couple of hours, but yeah, let's go for it.
How many hours have we got?
Yeah.
I don't have to be home till 5.
Could you imagine if I hypnotise you and all of a sudden you can read and write? This would be amazing podcasting in and of itself.
Wouldn't that be class?
Yeah. We'll do that. Okay, well, I'll give it a go at some stage, right? I've never tried that. Maybe we'll find out I'm real, you're real, and our both are for. Okay, come on. We'll shake hands. I'm going to hypnotise Natasha at some stage to try and get her to read and write.
Again, it is a block. When you were younger...
No, but hang on. Let's loop back to that. Was that difficult for you not to be able to read and write?
Yeah, and still is. But do you know what? I used to be so embarrassed because the teacher used to take me out of school, our class, and I'd be so embarrassed because the boys and the girls would be looking at you and they'd be skittling and there might be three of us going out. But then I realised that I had the most important gift of all. I was human, 50% human and 50% spirit. I realised then, at that moment in time, and it took me a few years to realise why I was like that. It was because I was so spiritual and I was more enlightened into my 80% of the brain into the spirit world. We say a child that has dyslexia and is not able, they're brought in, they're being put into maths, but they could be the child that's the hairdresser, the beautician, the creative, the singer. The most famous people are not able to read or write because their journey takes them on a different road and a different level. There's something out there for everybody. But I'm not ashamed to say it anymore because it's brought me to the greatest places of my life. And that's not caring.
But it's incredibly inspiring and it's bravery in what you're saying there. Yeah. And I think people will find that inspiring.
But I might send texts, a few texts, but majority is like I'm...
Emojis talking,
and the girl says, what's that senses that you're after writing? But I'm not ashamed of it. I don't care.
But there's still, okay.
I did enough shame.
So I accept for sure that a lot of it's just a natural ability, but I'm still intrigued. Like, tell me about your parents. Did they impart knowledge to you or your peers?
With the spiritual?
I just find you fascinating, right?
And
I'm just interested in, like you're able to articulate so many different thoughts and ideas and concepts and philosophies. Like, okay, we'll just say some of it comes naturally, maybe through spirit. Okay, yeah. If that's your belief system, and I'm look, who am I to say that?
Well, I have a spirit guide. His name is Coco, and he's okay. one big guy, and he has taught me. He's my main teacher. He's the one that's taught me a lot about it. He comes with different colours in his mane. He has a big mane of colour. And when I was younger, I used to draw him. And my parents used to think that this was just a figure of imagination. Mm. Yeah, it could have been when I was younger. But it's an energy that's still with me. It still works with me. He guides me throughout different sessions, who to work with, who not to work with, to mind me. He's a carer of me. And he will work with me to do the day I die.
Okay.
Do you know? And that's
does he come and go? Or do you have to invite him in?
No,
or is
he comes and goes. He's my guide. So okay. I will bow to my guides. When I start my show, I will bow. You'll see me bowing at okay. my shows, because I work with several different guides mm. to protect me and protect the audience and protect the energy. But the biggest thing is, like, I suppose all my life when I was in school, I was always judged. And I think that was the biggest lesson, is I was the biggest judger of all. Okay. Nobody was actually judging me, only myself. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing, we feel that we're up against a campaign all the time. And this, the vibrations and the elements of what I've achieved over my life by just trusting my gut instincts and trusting if it's right or wrong, just jump. And see how far you can fly. I love The Magic. Have you ever read The Magic?
Is that by Rhonda?
Yes.
Yeah, so Rhonda Barnes. She did, there was the another
Secret.
One. Secret, and yeah. She followed it up with The Magic as yeah. afterwards. I actually have The Magic in my library. I haven't read it, but I do have
it. Don't read it. Listen to it on Spotify.
Okay.
Okay? Because you need to feel it. You need to sensation yeah. okay, that sure. energy, because that's where that magic, if people are struggling, it's a great way to get started.
So describe The Magic, just so people understand what you're talking about.
The Magic is all about positive. It could be someone beeping in the back of the car at you because you're in the traffic light, you yep. move faster. It's the anger from the other person. It's how to deal with their process of that. But also how to understand. We get upset when an ESB bill comes into our door. But like, if we didn't have ESB, we wouldn't have light, electricity. How to be so thankful for these things that come through our door, and how to say thank you for paying our bills. Let the universe. So it's all about yeah. the way the universe and the mindset. And you'd love it, because it's all about the mind and the way we pursue from the minute we got up out of the bed to the day we're going to have.
Look, this conversation fascinating. I could go on for a whole lot longer. We are running out of time. Before we run out of time, tell me. Like, first of all, what does your husband think of all this?
Oh, sure, he thinks I'm amazing, don't you, Jim?
Well, all of our partners would hopefully say that about us.
No, he's very supportive.
Is he psychic, or is he?
He's a warlock energy.
I need to. Okay, can we book Jim? I need to talk to a warlock. Jesus, yeah. We're going for a witch. I didn't realise a warlock was even a thing in Ireland. Go so tell us a bit of warlock.
He's a warlock energy, and what it is he's very deep. He's completely different than me. He's
okay.
completely very deep. He doesn't practice his work. He doesn't do anything. He just lets me off. He yeah. does cabinet making, and he's there for me. So he would be my main healer. So if I need healing, my energy, he's my yeah. energy booster, you know. And he is able to see different blockages and darkness that's there. Now, he doesn't do it for anyone or do it for, mm. He just doesn't get involved with it. But he believes in me, he supports me, he's a great husband, great father.
Is there a danger that you see to altering people's outcome in their lives, I suppose? Somebody comes to you with the advice that you give them, is there a danger that they could change the trajectory of their life? Given on the advice that it's, keep it broad.
I think this is very important. This is why I do tell yeah. people to record their reading.
Okay.
So the reason why is you can look back in the recording 2 years' time, 4 years' time,
yeah.
2 years' time. If you're feeling stuck and you're wondering where you're still blocked, this mm-hmm. can help you to unblock it.
Yeah.
And it can help you guide you. Majority of people will take on maybe 5% of what you said. They'll do their own thing anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I love about them. The first thing I would say to the person, don't let this destroy your own passage. Like today I could go down the road and take a wrong turn.
Yeah.
That could change my life forever.
Mm.
I could take a left on the road. So every day our lives, our cards change.
Yeah.
So doing a reading for 2 years is silly.
Okay.
Right? I always do the reading for 2 years for people. People call me a fortune teller. By the way, I'm not a fortune teller.
What's the difference between
them? My I don't really know, Keith. My angels and guides just went to...
Okay, they don't like the term fortune teller. Okay.
They don't like the format fortune teller. So I work with my guides. I work with the angels. What am I? I don't really know. People just say, what kind of healing are you going to do with me today? I haven't got a clue. Come on, let's come in and we'll see what happens. It's a form of energy that you shouldn't control people's mind.
Mm-hmm.
As in that you should try and help them, guide them, understand it, understand where they're blocked. And just the amount of lovely messages I get, that it has helped them in so many ways.
Yeah.
And like that, maybe someone is looking for more and more and more and more. Mm. And that's a big part of it too, you know? So, you know, it really depends on what way their view. But as long as I do tell them, look, ring me, call me if you're stuck. I do give people our numbers. I make sure that if I can help them at any stage, I've often got out of my bed at 12 o'clock at night to help people. I've often had people where they were jumping in rivers and different things.
Mm.
You know, it's not a selfish thing. It's what I do. People do see me as just one thing, but they have not a clue in any of it. So when people are judging the likes of me or you, maybe they should come in and ask us instead of judging us, you know, before they judge us.
Well, I didn't realize that this conversation was going to ping pong in all kinds of different directions. But first of all, again, I want to thank you sincerely for coming here today. More importantly, tell us where you're going to be, where people can contact you, where your next show is. Go ahead.
So if they go online, tickets.ie, they can see where all our shows are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great for dates or times.
How long is the show?
Well, I never stop talking, Keith. So if people do, my people in the hotel do say, are you nearly up? Would yourself and your wife like to come?
I would love to go. So the agreement was, and we'll respect the agreement, was that when Natasha came here, she said she's not going to do a reading on me. So out of respect to that, I won't do one on you here. But if I come, will you do a reading?
I will. I'll do a reading for you anyways. But I want to do it for you, for your own compassion, not for show reasons. You know, and let it work in its natural ways.
Sure.
And you can judge it after that. Do you know what I mean? And that's the way it works.
But I promise I'll come with an open mind to it. And look, I'd be excited to get there. And yeah, maybe a reading for my wife as well. And I'm looking in at the...
Oh, dears, keep pushing another one. Okay,
I'm looking at the producers there. Ignore my daughter. Brianna's in there on work experience. Don't give her a reading. She's the ultimate skeptic. You don't want to go near her. Natasha Bracken, it's been an absolute pleasure. Have you a website as well that people can find you on, or Instagram?
It's Facebook, Instagram, Natasha Bracken Psychic Medium.
Perfect.
Just be very wary. There is hackers out there that have hacked our pages, pretending it's me. Look at the followers, look at the reviews. And just, if you're unsure, it's an 083 number. Make sure you call us.
Jesus, fair play to you for giving out your number to people. Old school. I love that old school.
Get it in.
All right. Thanks so much. Listen, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow, rate and share wherever you get your podcasts. It helps others find the show, and it really means the world to me. Thanks for listening. Keith Barry's Open Mind is a Go Loud original podcast. Our producer is Oran O'Halloran, and the executive producers are Pamela Blake and Owen Brennan. Dara Murphy is our video producer.